Blog Talk Radio.
What the heck? Oh.
Welcome to Mercury Retrograde.
Nick so kindly pointed out, welcome to Mercury Retrograde. I don't know what that was about. But we had some fun, didn't we?
Yeah.
And thank you for calling in, Sherita. I've got your mic is open. Welcome, folks, to the Consciousness Shift here on Here Be Monsters. And I, Gwen Berry, along with Nicole Tomasini, are here today with Sherita Starr, who is a wonderful author. She's also a beautiful guide if you need help, and we all do. Astrologically, numerologically, and the wonderful thing she does with lexigrams, give her your name. And she can tell you things you can't believe. Sherita, are you with us?
Well, thank you so much, Gwen. That is, and hello, Nicole. Wonderful to be with you both today.
Okay, Sherita. Nice to hear you again.
Am I audible, I guess? I hope so.
Yes.
You are very audible.
They always tell me I don't need a mic, but you never know under Mercury retrograde coming on the approach here.
Well, the last 3 days I've been experiencing not serious, but funny little retrograde occurrences. And, when you get used to it, you go, okay, it's Mercury retrograde.
Yeah, it's so funny. I've got people telling me already, oh, da, 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 this is happening. I said, you know what? The cycle hasn't even officially started, although, we are under what is called the approach to it. So in the middle of September, it was on the 14th, Mercury crossed over the astrological degree point of Libra that it's going to retrograde back to by October 25th. So what happens under the quote terminology of the approach is that we start to feel like it is Mercury retrograde, even though it really isn't. And it's like we get this little, I call it like a preview of coming attraction, so to speak. It's like the movie trailer for Mercury retrograde, which will officially start the 4th of October and run until the 25th of October this year. It's the last one of 2014. And it comes with a lot of added astrological bonuses along with it, let me tell you, because this one is packed full of other things happening in the astrological side simultaneously. So we'll get into that in the conversation today. But yes, you are starting to experience the feeling of why these changes are going to show up. We've got to have our plan B, C, and D ready to go all the time. And it's going to be officially time to return to reflective mode, review, redo, all those RE rules. That the Mercury retrograde asks us to do. And if we stick to that, we find we will sail through the cycle extremely well. If we choose the one RE word of resistance, where we don't understand why something changes, or we want to balk it, or we just want to go, you know what, I can't believe this, and you want to go, you want to react. And you want to go put your soul into a tailspin and your spirit into a tailspin, you are going to create such a domino effect for yourself under Mercury retrograde that I will tell you it won't be funny and you won't like it. So there's really powerful ways to learn how to work with the energy properly because, the universe is very good at setting things up for us in that, you know, we live in this, I always say, we live in this modern day world where we don't understand what's going on up above. We're never taught to understand what is going on with the planets and the cycles up above. It used to be an extremely valued thing, and now it's just not as much, you know, mainstream. If you're seeking it out on your own, you definitely understand there's a value to astrology. Of course, value to numerology as well. But Mercury retrograde is all about, you know, it's what astrology is telling us. And today, Mercury just popped into Scorpio, which is only 2 degrees off the point he'll retrograde from next week at 2 degrees Scorpio. So he just got into zero today. So we're feeling it. This next week will be pretty fun.
Well, you know, the big R-E word that I'm getting from you here is the way to deal with Mercury retrograde is to relax.
That's my favorite one. And, you know, Gwendolyn, the average person doesn't know how to relax under Mercury retrograde, because if they don't have any awareness of it, they will naturally fall to the reactive, they get into reactive mode and resistance mode, because they're just not fully aware nor mindful of why these changes are happening. So their energy is going to go in like, you know, the quantum, it's going to go on the negative side. And when you are mindful and you understand what the cycle is asking of you, you actually, it's so beneficial. Because here's a little interesting fact about Mercury retrograde is, it, you know, it does, it's a cycle that happens naturally in astrology 3 times a year for about 3 to 3.5 weeks for the passage. Now, when you add up those hours all throughout one collective year and you equivalent it to the amount of time that we actually sleep, or on average as a human, it's the same thing. Mercury retrograde is a time meant for relaxation. It's meant to be restful. It's meant to be like being, it happens every 3 months. You know, it's kind of like the universe says, hey, humans, it's time for you guys to check, you know, touch base with yourself a little bit. Take a little backtrack. You've been plowing ahead for 3 months in your life. Now it's time to take 3 weeks. That's all we ask. Take 3 weeks to reflect, return, reconnect, you know, and utilize that passage properly, so that when you know, if you're a rolling stone, you gather no moss. So we all need to stop every so often, and that's what Mercury retrograde is really about. It's about stopping and just chilling out and being happy that we're not in productivity, we're not in efficiency, and oh my God, we have to start everything five. You know, it's like this world wants success, insta success, and I really find that that's the wrong way to approach being successful in life. Is the faster it comes, I think the worse it is, because it has no stability for the long term. The quicker you get success, I don't think it lasts. I mean, you may have a fast road to success, but it's not going to be one of longevity. And isn't that what we all want?
It's not going to be near as much fun either.
No, because to me, the instant success that this world is so good at promoting today, it's not. There's no roots involved. You can't build a solid foundation quickly. You really can't. I mean, you can build one, but it's just like building a foundation on the sand, in my opinion. You don't have it solid enough. And when you really look at cycles via astrology, and then when you look at how you're flowing from the number side of things, oh my God, I mean, everything takes time in your life. It's not about this quick thing. It's not faster is better. And that is why I love Mercury retrograde myself, because I appreciate the opportunity to be able to slow down a little bit and be mindful. And there's all these that Mercury retrograde will say, you know, don't plant seeds for your future under this cycle if you can help it, which means, you know, you don't want to do things like get married. You don't want to do things like launch a business. You don't want to launch a product. And I will say the only exception to that rule is if you're doing art. If you're really doing something creative, along those lines, it's an interesting little, if you look into history, some of the greatest music and artistic achievements have been released under a Mercury retrograde, which is very fascinating in connecting those lexigrams. from the title. Because the new lexigram, and I know we haven't really touched upon what the lexigrams are, but the lexigrams is in a nutshell taking words, names, and titles, and you're going to anagram them, which means you're only going to spell the words from it using the same letters that are in the original. And the art of the lexigram is phrasing those anagrams like poetry or prose to spell out the truth. And from the title of Mercury Retrograde, we get the phrase, got to retreat to a great art.
Wow. You know, so you're a psychic. That was my big question.
So go art, you know, go retreat to your art, go to a museum if you're an artist. And the other thing Mercury Retrograde says to do, if you've got old creative stuff that you haven't touched base with in a long time, and I'm thinking of, you know, it doesn't even have to be exactly what you've thought about or maybe, you know, gotten to your space in the last 3 months of your life. It could be something you thought about 5 years ago and you, like, you know, you jotted the idea down or it's always been, like, lingering in the back of your mind and you just never took action on it, right? This is the best time coming up in October to go back to a project like that. You know, go back to old, unfinished, creative, fun adventures in your life that you never brought to the light of day. I'm telling you, the energy of Mercury Retrograde feeds off of you making that a choice of your free will.
Wow.
Really powerful energy there.
That is very valuable information, especially for me. That's really valuable information.
I know, because you are a stellar artist, and you're like the alchemist. So I can only imagine what you might come up with under Mercury Retrograde. I love it.
That's off that old healer's manual thing.
That's right. Jeez. That's right. And, you know, I mean, and what's also fascinating, there's all these general rules about Mercury Retrograde, right? However, the request of where precisely to point your review and redo in your life is going to be different depending on who you are. And depending on, you know, what sun sign you were born to, there's always two ways to look at a forecast via astrology. And one is the simplicity of knowing your sun sign. And the other is, that's why an astrologer, we want to know the time you're born and the place and all those little details so that we can cast your natal birth chart. And then we can see what area of your life via your natal chart that Mercury retrograde is backtracking through, because that's going to be the other area that you're really going to want to be mindful about. You know what? I'm going to have to expect some changes happening here. I'm going to want to point my energy here. So those are definitely two things you want to know via astrology's way of looking at how this is going to pan out. But, you know, there's always those general rules. You've just got to expect change to happen under the cycle, and you've got to be flexible and you've got to be adaptable. And when you're in that space, you can have a load of fun with Mercury retrograde, and you don't have to be, because people get really freaked out when they hear this, oh, it's going to be another Mercury retrograde, oh, life's going to suck for 3 weeks. God, that is the worst, thing to think. I mean, because guess what? If you want to sit in that space, you are going to have a horrible freaking time.
Right.
You are. What you think is what will manifest. I guarantee you that. And, you know, Mercury. Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, because I know a few folks who are, but how does this actually affect folks who were born during a Mercury retrograde? Is that a whole other astrological, you know, equation, or?
Well, it's, you know, it's an excellent question, and I often get asked that question, like, well, what if I have a natal Mercury retrograde? What does that mean? You know? And yes, there's many people who were born under a Mercury retrograde cycle. Being it happens 3.5 weeks, 3 times a year, you're bound to fall into it if that's what your soul decided to do, and, you know, you decided to choose your parents, and that's how it all worked out.
Yeah.
And what happens is that if you are born under a Mercury retrograde cycle, you almost innately understand it much better than the average person who's not born under Mercury retrograde. Meaning, you almost have this little extra astrological power on your side, when, of course, you're aware of it, of how to work with the cycle. Because you've experienced in your communication skills, and also just to recap, because I realize people may not even know what Mercury does up there as a planet. Mercury is a planet that guides the following for any of us: our thinking, our mentality, how we move in our life, how we circulate. It is associated with travel, any exchange of information electronically, the internet, the news, the media, you name it. It guides anything that has movement associated with it, which is why under a Mercury red cycle, we see things like cars break down. If you didn't get it fixed prior, if you knew your car was making a clanking noise and it was approaching Mercury retrograde and you didn't get it fixed, well, guess what? You probably are going to break down under Mercury retrograde, you know, or if you're, your fridge is on the fritz, or whatever the case may be, anything that moves through electricity or moves and traveling mechanisms, all those types of things, these are the types of things that go a little wonky, as we like to say, under the cycle. Because when Mercury's backtracking, his natural energy that promotes our thinking and all of this forward motion naturally in life, it's just the cycle is off, you know, the energy's off. It's just thrown off. And it's also why human error is the highest under the cycle than it is under any other time of the year. That's why we make mistakes. It's why there's typos in everybody's emails and posts on Facebook, and there's the news people are saying things wrong, and they put their foot in their mouth sometimes, depending, because they kind of do that naturally anyway, but they really put their foot in their mouth under Mercury retrograde. So that is the one thing you want to understand. And Mercury is, as an inner planet, when he retrogrades, he really is effective down here below, because Mercury is the second planet out from looking at the moon. And we can all see the moon all the time, not every day, but most majority of the month, we're very aware that there's a moon out there besides our sun. And so that's why this particular retrograde cycle is very effective for us, and we feel it. Everybody feels it. Doesn't matter who you are, what you believe in. Something goes weird in your life, and changes are to be expected. But again, back to Mercury, back to a natal Mercury retrograde, the rules will still apply to you if you're born to a natal Mercury retrograde, meaning you don't want to go signing contracts, you don't want to start things in your life, but you tend to really work with the energy better. Because your life at some point, even when you were younger, you know, your communication skills might have been a little delayed. You may not have talked as soon as you should have, or maybe you had a little trouble reading when you were younger. You know, things like that will happen with people who natally have a Mercury retrograde in the chart. But it means you have to work with the energy a little better when you're younger, and kind of figuring out who you are and why you're here and all those types of things. So there's nothing negative about having planets retrograde in your chart whatsoever. It just means you may have to apply a little bit more effort to allow the positive effects of that planet to come out in your, you know, personal experiences.
That's sort of
a Mercury retrograde.
Say that again.
I was going to say, I'm a Mercury retrograde baby, and all of the things you just said totally apply to me.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I'm having to take more time and figure it out and communicating. Like, I wasn't sure how I was feeling, even though I was feeling something strong, but I didn't know why a lot. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Super cool.
Very nice.
Segue.
Super
cool.
No, I was going to say, also, I think that people who have, from Sherita's description, people who have Mercury retrograde in their birth chart or their natal chart are probably more ambitious and do not fall to the wayside very quickly, because they're used to having to see something through.
Yes.
Would that apply?
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to admit, I was just distracted because I didn't set my Skype on Do Not Disturb, and I had somebody try to call me. Can you repeat that question?
Okay, Mercury. I was saying that people who have Mercury in their natal chart are also, from your description, are actually going to have more follow through on projects and ambition because they have been bootstrapped that way by their planetary natal. Yeah?
Yes, I would totally agree with that. Yes. So, yeah, you know, like I said, it's not an, I never look at when you see, and there's also these like blessed souls, like, and they, it's not very often. But there always is about, I think it's like every 18 months or so, we actually have a 2-week passage, give or take, where there are no planets up there retrograding, which is like, it's a rarity. Because so many people, we all have certain planets that typically show up. You know, some, but you're always, there's all of the planets retrograde. It's not just Mercury, but we feel Mercury the most. So we all have different things depending whether we get the natal Mercury retrograde or, you know, your Saturn shows up retrograde, what have you. There's all the other 10 ones that we're going to look at. And that is, you know, what you came here to kind of, yeah, everybody gets a little challenged to figure out. You don't come here to just live this life of flatlining joy and that's all we get, you know. We go up, we go down, we cycle, we experience the highs, the lows, the joys, the sadness, the anger even, you know. We're not human if we don't go through all of those things. You'd have to pinch yourself and say you weren't living.
That's the best part about Mercury retrograde for me is that when I finally realized, because I heard this too, that being born in Mercury retrograde, you're supposed to understand it. And so I was like, wow, I'm having so much trouble with it. And I think I was going around the loop too many times and doing Mercury retrograde from a Mercury retrograde perspective, and then it was retrograding on me.
It certainly may have been, yeah, because it'll be, where is your Mercury, Nicole? You know your, the sign it's naturally in?
I think it might be, it's either Gemini or Aries.
So your Mercury is in Gemini or Aries retrograde. Okay, so that's,
yeah,
well, I'd have to look at your chart and tell you all about that, but.
I have it here. Mercury is in Fire. Oh, sorry, it's in Leo.
Oh, okay.
Is that right? What's the one?
Could be.
Yeah.
It could be. When's your birthday?
March 23rd, 1970.
If you are March 23rd, your Mercury cannot be in Leo. It's impossible because Mercury can only be two signs away from your sun sign. It can't travel any further away from the sun than that. So it's either... It could be as far away as Gemini, but it could also be right next to your sun in Aries, too. But you're born right in early Aries, so.
Yeah, I don't know what the signs mean. The circle, arrow. Yeah.
the arrow is Mars. That little circle with the arrow coming out of it, that's Mars. So your Mars is probably Leo. Mercury is like the little, it's like, it looks like a little head with a little, like, it's got a little horn on it, sort of. It almost looks like Pluto, but it's missing the, God, to describe glyphs, it's like hilarious. They're already complicated. Yeah. So. I always say astrology didn't set it up well so that we could understand it really easy. You know, it's like, let's put all these funky symbols so nobody knows what the hell they are. Can't just be a symbol. See, numbers are so much simpler. It's like 1 to 9. That's it. 0, 1 to 9. That's it. That's what you get.
Yeah. So anyway, you were going to say about if your Mercury's in certain signs or whatever sign it was.
Yes. So, So when every Mercury retrograde cycle happens, give or take 3 times a year, it'll be in a different area of your life. It's not going to be in the same redo place, but what we sort of start to notice over the pattern, if we look at just a year's cycle of Mercury retrogrades happening, we're going to see, like this year, we've gotten this, they all are starting at the very beginning of a water sign, and then they go back into an air sign. So the one we had in February started off at the early degrees of Pisces, popped back into Aquarius in February. Then the one we had in June started in Cancer and then popped back into Gemini. And then the one we're going to have coming up next month is, and as of today, Mercury went into Scorpio. It's only going to be going real slow over the next week, and it's only going to get to 2 degrees by next Saturday. And then it's going to reverse on the 4th, and then by October 10th, it goes back into Libra, where it will go back to 17 degrees Libra on the 25th of October, and then it'll turn around. And then it'll retrace its steps, moving forward under what we call the shadow, which, like the approach, is the period after the Mercury retrograde cycle happens, and it's the same amount of time it takes as the approach was to retrace the same steps it just went backwards through.
Wow.
So what it does is it gives us, so Mercury retrograde, aside from the cycle of it literally being measured going backwards, when you include the approach in the shadow, it's a really longer cycle than it is given credit for, because we see, like, again, the approach is like the preview show, and then the aftermath is the shadow, which gives us the opportunities to iron out the kinks that the cycle may have caused. So let's say we had to move forward with some important decision under the Mercury retrograde cycle. Sometimes we do have to do things like that. You're not going to be totally excused all the time. If you can be as mindful as possible to put things off or make sure you've got it done prior, that's in your best interest. However, life is surprising, and that's the point of Mercury retrograde, that it will surprise you with things you may not have anticipated. And that's totally okay. But if you come at it with a mindful, calm energy, you're going to be okay. And whatever kinks may need to be ironed out, and if human error happened to happen, which it probably did, the shadow gives you the opportunity to work through that. And so this shadow passage of this current coming up Mercury retrograde is to the November 10th. So from the 25th to November 10th is the real completion of it. You know, whatever we have to do to figure it all out, that's when we'll do it. So,
sure.
Wow, so all of October.
Well,
I was just
going to
make the point. Yeah.
All of October is like, I don't want to say a write-off, but... and I'm going to share some other things about the other energy going on in October. So October is going to be interesting. I'm just going to lay it out like that. You know, I think October is going to surprise a lot of people with a lot of different things. I think the world's going to be very surprised with a lot of different things. But it'll be a powerful time on other levels. So it won't be like all for nothing, but people need to be very, very on alert in October. You definitely are going to not want to be like throwing caution to the wind. Let's put it that way.
What is October gearing up to look like astrologically?
Well, aside from, so the cycle starts next Saturday of a week from today. We start the Mercury retrograde, and then 4 days after that, on October 8th, we have a lunar eclipse in Aries. Which lunar eclipses are obviously, you know, they always happen paired up with a full moon. The eclipses are associated; they're all moon things. And anytime we have a full moon, we're going to get a kickoff of release about to unfold. So in Aries, it's a fire sign. Now, this is going to be very, probably a lunar eclipse like we haven't really seen in a really long time, because this lunar eclipse is going to conjunct Uranus in Aries, going retrograde himself, which Uranus is the planet of the unexpected. Originality, individuality, but it's the planet that can shake things up. Let's put it that way. And that's what it does, which means that when you're predicting I don't ever use that word in my work anyway. I always say what I do is a forecast, which means your free will has a heads up. It is going to, you can expect this type of energy to be around you, but your free will is the only person that's going to decide what to do with it. And when you have a lunar eclipse conjuncting Uranus retrograde in the fire sign of Aries, you're going to have some interesting stuff show up that you couldn't anticipate it if you tried. Uranus creates breakthroughs. It creates the space of, we're just going to, like, we have no idea how it might fall. And what the other dynamic that will be going on simultaneously is that's happening is there's going to be a grand fire trine happening over a couple weeks. You're going to have that Uranus retrograde looking up to the Jupiter in Leo, which is moving forward. And then you're going to have that connect with Mars and Sagittarius. And they're all going to be meeting up about the midway point of the they're not going to, like, totally line up at, like we did with the Grand Cardinal Cross back in April. That was an alignment between Pluto, Uranus, and Aries again. We had Jupiter in Cancer at that time, and we had Mars in Libra. And they all met up. It was around April 20th through the 22nd, earlier this year. They all lined up at the 13th degree of the cardinal signs, which are all our leadership signs. Well, now we're going to have energy aligning in a trine, which is a lot more of a flow, and it's more of a, it's an easeful energy. But when you're looking at the combination of these planets, you've got Uranus retrograding in Aries, causing all that upset, breakthroughs, all sorts of, well, whatever happens, happens. This is all we're going to tell you. And in the pioneering sign of Aries, you know, and I mean, head first, who knows what's going to show up. And you've got Jupiter in Leo. You got Jupiter in Leo, who is, you know, bringing abundance to that area of anyone's life right now. Jupiter is the expansive planet, really bringing growth of, you know, educational opportunities. But even by the stroke of luck, things seem to be happening in the Leo area of the life. And then that's going to connect to the motivation that Mars and Sagittarius is currently bringing forward. And they're all, you know, they meet up at different times, but it's around anywhere from the 14th to the 17th degree of these signs. So that's going to be the grand trine in fire. That's also directly involved in this lunar eclipse on October 8th. And I'm telling you, I don't know what's going to happen, but something pretty interesting is going to happen. And when you're looking at the United States' chart, oh my, I really think we're in for some surprises. And, you know, with the announcements of everything going on this week, I just send a lot of calm, clarity, and peace to whatever may show up for us to handle. And that is why Debbie Tatel and I decided that we were going to master Mercury retrograde, and we're doing this workshop tomorrow, which is going to be very helpful for anybody who really wants to ground and center their energy moving forward into October. She's a delightful woman that I've been working with all year long, and she's helped me ground and center my life, like, and straighten some stuff out. Because I had, you know, just, I'm a human too, even though I can see all this stuff, but, you know, I had a lot of stuff still in my space, and she knows how to clear stuff out of our space. So one of the most important things that we all want to do moving forward and going into October is clearing our space and getting ourselves grounded and being very centered and being very aware of how to really work with this energy that's going to be happening around us, because it's going to be nothing short of intense. But if we got the heads up and we are consciously and subconsciously prepared for it, there's nothing we can't achieve under it. Again, following the rules. I got to follow the Mercury retrograde rules.
Following the Mercury retrograde rules. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you talk just a little bit about what the chart for the United States is showing under these influences?
Oh, yes. What I'm a little concerned about is knowing how that lunar eclipse is going to be kicking off in the country's house of home, family, environments. That's going to be quite interesting to watch unfold of what is happening there. And give me a second here. I'm going to bring up the chart so I can see it fully, what is happening here. But that lunar eclipse very much is going to kick in our country's fourth house, which in a blatant nutshell means some stuff can happen, you know, some stuff pretty powerfully within our environments, within our home front. And I really pray it's not something so unexpected that we're not going to be able to deal with it in a way that, you know, we're going to be completely shocked. I'm looking at the chart here. Okay.
I asked you this question, mindful that at the UN the other day, Mr. Obama actually put us back in the state of war in the Middle East. Man, you know me, I'm an activist, all that. We had such a powerful weekend last weekend. Nicole was in the march in New York City. We had a very powerful
weekend. We're down there for that. Wow, I saw the pictures. I was blown out of the water. I thought it was super cool, though.
And that's why I'm asking, because I think folks in our community are doing their best to anchor peace. I know I am. And I know most of us are. How do we expect this? This is why I'm asking. I know peace is big. We need to be anchoring that, but I'll let you go back to your chart.
When that lunar eclipse on the 8th is kicking off, that's going to connect some pretty interesting things to, because the other thing that I found fascinating was when, you know, Obama announced, I think it was Tuesday, that the situation with Syria is what it is. That was under a moon void, of course, conjunct our natal Neptune in this country's House of Foreign Affairs, which I was like, oh no, this isn't going to turn out too good. I didn't feel great about it. And the country right now is in a nine personal year when we're looking at how even, you know, people cycle through energies of nine every 9 years, and a country will do the same. So when we celebrated our 4th of July this year, the country went into what we call a nine personal year, nine being that planet guided by that planet Mars. And one of the ways that I connect the astrology and connect the dots to numerology is I know that a nine personal year cycle is guided by the Mars. So I also want to see what is that Mars doing in the natal birth chart all year long while anybody, the person or the entity, is in that cycle. And right now, Mars is sitting in the country's house of, like, inner work, the inner process, karmic things. You know, and I know this announcement about Syria kind of obviously ruffles the feathers of Russia. And I'm like, ooh, let me really send peace to that. You know, and I like you said, it's we've got to do what we can to put that energy out there. Instead of being, I want to protest this war, I'm going to be pro-peace. Let's just think pro-peace. Anti-war is probably not going to work, but being pro-peace will do something. You know, I think Mother Teresa, who's the one who said that, she goes, I will not come to an anti-war movement, but I will come to a pro-peace situation, if that's what you're going to do. And that is the antidote. In a nine personal year for a person or a nation or whatever you're looking at, a business, you're going to see conflict. You're going to see aggressive action. You're going to see penetration. But the real antidote is rising up in courage to be the cure, so to speak. And this personal year cycle for this country is known as, it's an 18 vibration, and it's spiritual material conflict is the karmic mystery behind this whole year for this country to unlock in a matter of sorts. And the materialism that this country kind of thrives on in many ways is really being asked to be considered. And what is it that we all do to really understand our spirituality, which doesn't mean you have to be some religious fanatic. Spirituality is just understanding the spirit of whatever is going on, in my opinion.
Right.
Religion is a whole nother, you know, you can have faith whatever you want, and there's no judgment about that. But there's so much about people who are, that we're all, you know, not everybody, but there's a lot of detachment from spirituality and more connection to materialism. And that is what this country right in this year is really being asked to do. And on October 8th, what will happen a few days before that, Mars will be coming over this country's ascendant, coming out of that inner workspace, coming out of like almost like, you know, the darkness. And it's, we're going to be right on this country's approaches. And I don't know if that's going to be the moment that we are really in the thick of something a little intense. Because there's going to be action definitely happening. And the Jupiter and where you're looking at how that fire sign trine is going to be working, the approaches to this country are changing. The approaches that this country takes in its own being an entity as a nation are going to drastically and dramatically change over the month and into, you know, the end of this year, because we've got the whole span of time from Mars finishing up in Sagittarius to the early degrees of Capricorn, which will also cross over the current transit of Pluto, and that's, I think, going to be interesting. And the Jupiter is hanging out in the country's eighth house of regeneration, transformation, and core changes, which means it definitely can connect to it happening abundantly, but because it also connects to how we're going to nurture ourselves, what we're doing in our environments, and so on and so forth. You know, this country's in for a dramatic change this year on multiple levels. And what we're clearing, what we're going to see release, what we're going to see let go of is making space so that by the time you're really in July of 2015, we have the total clear garden, no plants in it. We're going to plant new seeds. This country is very requested to plant new seeds once we really step into 2015. And that's
where, good news.
Where we really need to think about being, you know, vigilant as a nation is moving forward in new beginnings next year. But we've got a little soul homework to do as a country in the months ahead.
Huh.
Let's put it that way. You know, I know politicians are not the most spiritually oriented people on the planet, but I really hope that there's something that whatever shocking things come out, that is going to allow them to get into a space of spirituality so that they can find the solutions that this country really needs. And that's my prayer for the nation in the year ahead, is that the people who are making decisions are going to understand that they've got to come from a spiritual perspective and not a materialistic one.
What you're saying is that we're due for a catalyst of change, and the planets are actually making the space for it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they certainly are. And you know, like I said, there's always free will. That's why everything is called a forecast. So
yeah,
it can be subject to change at any time, according to what the free will decides to do with the energy that surrounds it. And this is for anybody, you know, whatever year you're in your life, you know, you know, you're in a space where whatever cycle you're in, you're definitely seeing those things show up, but it's up to you to decide how are you going to manifest that energy in the best way possible. Nobody can make that decision for you but yourself. I always say that you can be guided, and you know, hey, if you know you're in a cycle where you're meant to clear and you don't get rid of what you're meant to clear and you take all that stuff with you entering the next phase of your life, it's like you're kind of carrying all this, like, you know, it's like you're carrying a suitcase of stones around with you, and your life is going to get extremely heavy if you know, you're never going to have another fruitful harvest if you don't weed the garden you've got.
I've been going through second Saturn return, and mine concludes in November. started telling me and going out with a bang.
So you're very late. You're very late, Scorpio, Saturn and Scorpio, in your chart.
Well, Mars is in Scorpio. That's for sure.
Okay, so your Saturn.
Remember.
Well, we're going to talk about this in a little bit. So I'll get you straight on that. Because in late November, Saturn does finish up in the latter degrees of Leo Scorpio, and then it's going to go into Aquarius. Yo, that's impossible, Sherita. Saturn, when does Saturn officially go into, Saturn officially enters Sagittarius on the 23rd of December, which is a couple days before Christmas. So late November for you is, you know, it's the very last degrees of Scorpio is where Saturn will be. So you must have a natal Scorpio. You must have your natal Saturn is in Scorpio, I would think. If that's what you're, you know, if you're going through your second return, then it has to come back and be in the same point that it was when you were born.
Gotcha.
Which for the first time this ever happened in your life, it was when you were like 28 to 30 years of age.
Yeah, that was a great time. I came out of that one with a bang.
We always seem to come out of Saturn cycles with a bang one way or the other.
I came out of that one with a real bang, but this one has been a huge challenge. But, that's what makes it.
Yeah, no, it's, Saturn is, he's a very interesting planet. He's great, a lot of people, just like Mercury retrograde, people fear Saturn cycles. There's this association of fear with it, and again, I like to debunk that myth as well. Same thing, if you know how to work with Saturn, it's really such a powerful time to step into the responsibility that you're meant to have in that area of your life, wherever he is, and no matter where you are, what age you are, Saturn is affecting some area of your life. He's always in some sign in your chart. And that is an area of your life for those couple years. He's in any given sign. He's saying to you, it's time to slow down here. It's time to really look at what you need to be responsible to in this area of your life. And yeah, I may give you a little restriction. I may give you a little challenge to deal with, but this is going to make you stronger. It's going to make you more stable. And again, it's going to teach you about that practice of slow and steady is going to win this race. You're not going to see fast action wherever Saturn is currently transiting. You're going to see a direct demand to slow down and pay attention. That is what Saturn does. He really, it's like a father disciplining you a little bit. Like, you know what? You've got to pay attention here. I'm sorry.
Well, I got the message. No, I, and when you said that, I realized it was when I was coming out of my Saturn return that I really shot out like a cannonball. It was great.
And it is. When we experience the first one, and, no matter who you are, what sign you are, you will naturally experience your first Saturn return between the ages of 28 to 30. And it is astrology's way of saying to you, by the time it concludes, you have reached the point of maturity that you're going to be able to take the rest of your life into your own hands in the way that you should. Everything you did up through that age point is about the learning and the self-discovery. And a lot of times, if we make decisions that we really think are for the rest of our life, especially if it's the getting married thing, or we decide to have children, or, we think we're in the best career choice, if we're not in the right space, or maybe we didn't make the right choice before we finished our learning and discovery, what happens is that Saturn return will clear out that energy. And by the time it's done, it will move us forward that, you know, that's why a lot of people, if they get married before that sign of return, they sometimes make the wrong choice. It's different for every individual. Some people can get married in the earlier portion of their life, and it is the right thing to do. But there's very few cases that works. And one of the most current examples, and you know, everybody knows who these people are, is you know, when I watched Prince William and Kate get married. You know, they dated in their early 20s, and they dated for all those numbers of years, and even on and off, they kind of broke up here and there. But by the time they reached their Saturn return, they knew that this is what they wanted, and that's when they decided to get married. And, you know, I do believe that they will last for the test of time, because they did what astrology advised them to do. Doesn't mean you can't meet somebody when you're early on, but if they stick with you past that Saturn return, then they're meant to hang out with you for the duration. And that's, you know, that's the true test of what the Saturn return is really going to do. And it's the same thing when it happens again around, you know, 56 to 58, depending on, you know, sometimes you fall into it 57 to 59, but by the time you're 60, it's definitely happened. So, and it's another chapter in your life where what you've done over the learning, you know, when all your talents came out and emerged, now your greatest wisdom's here. So hallelujah. You're going to have fun with that for the remainder of your life.
So you're aging and saging, or saging and aging.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, Saturn is also, he's, you know, when you really understand what to do with Saturn, you can't go wrong with that either. But there's so much fear based around Saturn cycles when he transits. You know, some people, oh, Saturn, you know, they get all freaked out. And there's really no necessity for that at all. If you're really working with the energy properly, it's a very rewarding. Saturn will give you every reward when you work with him the right way. Just like Mercury.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful advice. I really appreciate it personally. I know that, but being told and being in the place I'm in right now, that's great information.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 8 minutes left, and I want you to focus on what you want people to know about your workshop and how they can find your wonderful book about the lexigrams. I love it. I it's by my bed. I pick it up when I can't sleep, you know, and I learn something new. And I actually have a chart where I'm figuring out all the different words that go to my full name. And, you know, it's great. I love it. Please tell them.
I love to hear that, Gwen. That is totally cool. And, you know, I really wrote this book in such a way that it's a book that you can pick it up again and again, and it is meant to be read and reread. Because I didn't explain it, not that I didn't explain it simply, but it's one of those books that you can just keep returning to it, because you're going to keep learning something new every time. And that really is across the board with astrology and numerology, and also how Linda Goodman taught me about these lexigrams. You can, you know, ponder a name and spiral on a name, as she called that process of lexigramming. And, you know, you're meant to get what you get out of it at one particular time, but you can go back to the same name a week later, a month later, what have you, and you're going to get more messages. And what's meant to kind of speak to you at that time, it's, you know, lexigrams are a very meditative process for me. And that's why I don't do them so much on the fly, although some things just want to talk to me right away, depending on what the name of the word is. But they're so much fun. I give such gratitude for Linda for writing that in Star Signs and bringing that to light, because, I mean, the English language is just so freaking fascinating this way. And I can't say enough across the board of history of just what I could write a Guinness Book of World Records for these lexigrams year to year to year. I mean, they just never stop. I'm never bored, let me tell you that. But yes, that book is it's available on Amazon. It's a Kindle book. The only place you're going to get a signed copy, however, is on SharitaStar.com under publications. So if you would like a signed copy and you still love to touch, feel, and smell a book, it's a beautifully printed book. I give gratitude as well to Portal for the amazing, they put it together extremely well. It came out so good. I couldn't have been more pleased with the way that the printing part of it came out. So, but if you like your electronic books, it's available on there too. So check that out. And I am thrilled to be doing this Mastering Mercury Retrograde workshop tomorrow. Again, that is also on SharitaStar.com. Scroll down under workshops. You'll see the direct link to sign up there. And my colleague and I, Debbie Tatel, and she's a clairvoyant. She's an energy healer. She's a meditation teacher. I adore her meditations. I can't wait to do this tomorrow because I have never done what she's going to teach us to do with Mercury Retrograde. I've never gone into Mercury Retrograde having meditated and cleared and grounded the whole cycle before I went into it. So I am like a kid in a candy store to see how much different my Mercury Retrograde is going to be on a personal level doing this workshop with her tomorrow. And we have a little special gift for everybody who hops on with us as well and signs up and registers. You got to be signed up and registered to be on the call with us tomorrow. It's going to be 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 4 o'clock Pacific, 6 o'clock Chicago time, and anywhere else you'll be in the world, I forget all those other things, but we invite you to join us, and we're in the midst.
Where can they find the link to get
the link? If you go, if you're also on Facebook and give a like to Sharita Star, it's the pinned post on the top of my page on Facebook. If you find Sharita Star on Twitter, it's the pinned post there as well. But if you go to SharitaStar.com, it's also under workshops down on the right side of my homepage. So, right there as well. You can't miss it. Master in Mercury Retrograde. So super cool. And, you know, we've just been and what's so cool is that this is the first time we've ever joined forces to do this. And we decided that this is, you know, it's had such a great response so far that we're going to be doing this every Mercury Retrograde. We're going to offer a Mastering Mercury Retrograde. So we're actually going to develop a little website. I bought the domain, registered the hashtag, and this is just it. You know, let's work positively with this cycle because it's meant to do that for us. There's no reason to fear what goes on under Mercury Retrograde. If you know how to work with it, and that's what we're going to teach you tomorrow, is the do's and the don'ts and how to feel really cool, positive, and completely grounded going into next week and knowing you're going to master what happens in October, no matter what shows up.
I really thank you for coming.
Hey, I
love it. Okay, I'm sorry about that.
I loved him. I think he's excited. He was just giving a little like, hey, I'm excited about Mercury Retrograde too.
I just have a quick question. I know I might end up going into the recording a little bit, but your sign in Mercury, I found out that mine is actually in Aries.
Okay,
but,
cool.
But how does that... will she talk anything about the different signs in Mercury, and does that affect your Mercury Retrograde?
Well, what we're going to do is, excellent question. We're going to be talking about how, again, to work most effectively with the cycle, and then what I will be doing as your special gift is everybody's going to get how it works them. Not for a natal chart, but for whatever sign you are. So you're going to get one perspective of how to see where the Mercury Retrograde wants to point you in reflection and review and redo. So yes, you're going to get that information from signing up with the workshop tomorrow.
Cool.
Right. I'm glad we got that in there. Sherita, thank you so much for being with us today. I hope you're going to come back.
You just let me know anytime. I'm always happy to be on your show. Thank you both so much. My gratitude to you both and to all of your listeners. That great true attitude of gratitude. I love that lexigram right there. That's one of my favorites. And and I look forward to a very powerful Mercury retrograde in the best way that we can all reflect and reconnect and backtrack a little bit and feel okay about taking a break and relaxing and resting up in our lives, because that's what it's here for.
That's good information.
I just might see you tomorrow. Yeah, if the schedule permits, I think I'm going to do it tomorrow. It sounds so exciting.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to having you on there. So
cool.
Very cool.
Thanks, Sherita.
You're welcome, Nicole.
Really, really wonderful. Can't thank you enough for all the good information you bring, and fun too. It's always fun.
I try. We have to have fun in life, and I do. I have a lot of fun with my work, you know. And hey, you got to laugh every so often, because I'll tell you what, Mercury retrograde will make you laugh more than anything. If you could just, you go, oh, it's Mercury retrograde. And you just put a smile on your face, and you're like, okay, that's what's happening. And your heart feels all the same.
I've actually already done that once this week. So I get what you're saying.
Oh,
relaxation.
It was funny last night. I went horseback riding, and we were all getting, we had, you know, taken horses on a trailer to go, and the trailer next to us, we were packing everything up, and they had the horses on the trailer, they had the truck running, and they locked their keys in the truck with the truck running. And it was it's hilarious. I mean, we were all laughing, and none of them really saw Mercury retrograde ones, and I was just like, I didn't get into it, but I was like, just in the back of my mind, I'm like, now these are the types of things that we do under Mercury retrograde, you know, anything dealing with what's moving. We, you know, you always want to like watch your cell phone, watch your keys, we lose stuff under Mercury retrograde too. It's very interesting. Things like that will show up to deal with, or, you know, we lock our keys in the car, you know. With the car running, but they got it resolved. About a half an hour later, everything was resolved. But it was just funny, you know. It was just a funny thing to observe. So,
thank you, Dr. Medicine.
So, excellent,
ladies. I want to thank you both for joining me today. Thank you, Nick, for being with us, and say hello to Diane. I know she was listening in.
Hi, Diane.
This has been the Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and myself, Juan Berry. Our guest today has been Sherita Starr. You can find her on Facebook. And don't forget the Mercury Retrograde Workshop. I also have a little bit of an announcement to make. On my shows, on Here Be Monsters, I am going to be prefacing at each show. Before I do it, and this is the activist coming out here, with a sincere apology, and this in no way reflects the commentators or guests or other hosts of other shows on Here Be Monsters. This is just one show. But the point I'm making is I'm offering a sincere apology to the people, the innocents of Syria, for the bombs being dropped by my country. I no way support it, and I disavow anyone who supports it. Two wrongs don't make a right. You can't stop violence with more violence. I think it's the wrong way to go. Perhaps some of what we've learned today in this show is going to bring that to the forefront. Who knows? But on every show I do, I sincerely apologize to the people in the Middle East who are suffering under the bombs of this country that I belong to. And that's all I've got to say. And I invite either one of you to agree or disagree with me. That's just something that's it's a very personal thing. As I said, it no way reflects my guests or other folks. And that's the name of that group. Ladies, are you still with me?
Yeah, yep. I had myself on mute. I think that's a great thing, Glenn, because it shows that the people are not with what the governments are doing. And the more people that do that, and the more people that say we're not what they're doing, you know, that's the change, man. It's great. I think it's great, Glenn.
Thanks, Nick. I appreciate your support. Really, I do. I got to tell you, 2 days ago, I watched The View on ABC, and I was so proud of Rosie O'Donnell, who did not whitewash anything. Of course, she never does. But she said specifically about the same thing, and she also suggested that it was tied more to financial gain than it was to anything else, including stopping these horrible atrocities that these, quote, terrorists, who have nothing to do with Islam at all, are committing over there. I do not in any way, by apologizing sincerely for the bombs being dropped, I do not in any way support the atrocities that are being committed by terrorists over there. In no way do I. I just understand by historical lessons and all of the lessons that stand starkly in front of us at this moment that you cannot stop violence with more violence. And kudos to Ms. O'Donnell for standing up and being the only one on her panel, I was surprised to see, that stood by that, who didn't whitewash it towards, you know, being politically correct or something. So it gave me the idea to say, you know, and of course it's a meme now. On Facebook and Twitter, people are saying, we apologize, we're not behind this. Of course, it's a suppity crowd, you know. But, and I thank you both for sitting here and listening to me, too.
Yeah, man. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right.
Courage. Okay. Courage. It's all about courage. That's all I can say. It's all about being courageous.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
That's what everybody... In a nutshell, if you understand how to be courageous, it's going to be okay.
Yep. Yep. And no matter what comes, we can stand up. We can get through it.
Yep, absolutely.
Sharita, come back and be with us. You do such a great job. We really love having you. And Nick, I want to remind everybody that on Monday they can find you here at Spirit Therapy at 7 p.m. on Monday evening.
Yes,
and
check out our new website, spirittherapynyc.com.
There you go. And as always, we're sponsored by Daughters of Isis. You can find those are the fragrant memories of our ancestors. That's just our little tagline, but we have an awful lot to offer you. And that's just daughtersofisis.com. So until next Saturday, this has been the Consciousness Shift with our guest star, Sharita Starr, and Nicole Thomasini is my co-host. Thank you, everybody, for being a part of the show today.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Sharita.
Thank you both so much, and your listeners. Thank you.
All right, that's all she wrote, folks.